today on Path of Grace.
But when that kingdom comes, there will be those who will reign with Christ on the earth. As Jesus taught about the kingdom, he spoke of people inheriting the earth. That was the focus from Genesis all the way through. It was about the earth, the promises of Abraham. Again, about the earth, the hope of Israel, the Messiah coming, God's kingdom coming, the kingdom of heaven coming to the earth. Then along comes Paul sharing what Christ had given him for the uncircumcision, and he talks about things that are way beyond earth. He speaks of us being seated in the heavenlies with Christ, not earthbound, but seated in the heavenlies as heirs with Christ, reigning with Christ, where? In the heavenlies, judging angels, having responsibility in the heavenlies, and that through Christ, Father is going to reconcile all things to himself, all things on the earth, and all things in the heavenlies. I want to tell you something. It's a secret. Seriously, I've got a secret for you. It's something no one else knows. Absolutely nobody. I'm serious. In fact, I want to tell you all sorts of things that I've never told anyone. I've told a lot of people a lot of stuff, but I've never shared this with anyone else. It's big stuff, so listen closely. No one else knows about this. My friend, imagine hearing those words from Christ. Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the resurrected Lord, appearing to you in some way saying, hey, I've got a secret, something that has been hidden throughout all of history, and I want to share it with you. That is what the Apostle Paul tells us happened to him, that Christ, the risen Lord, revealed to him things that at no point in all of history had been shared with anyone else. He said that Christ shared with him things that were not revealed to the prophets of old, things that even Jesus, as he walked on this earth, did not share with his closest disciples. Today, I want to look at some of the things Paul had to say about this. If you have a Bible handy, open it up to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, Paul's letter to the Galatians. I want to read to you from Young's Literal Translation, starting in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says, "And I make known to you, brethren, the good news." Pause right there. This word translated as good news is the word evangel. It's a proclamation of something good. It's also translated as the word gospel. He says, "I make known to you, brethren, the good news that were proclaimed by me, that it is not according to man. For neither did I receive it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through a revelation of Jesus Christ." He says that the evangel he was proclaiming, the message he is sharing, it's not something he had heard from another person. It wasn't something passed to him from those first disciples who had walked with the Lord as he was preaching to Israel about the kingdom to come to the earth. He says, none of those guys taught this to me. None of them gave this message to me. In fact, as you read through Galatians, you find that he didn't meet any of those guys until several years later. He says, this evangel, this proclamation of good news was given to me as a revelation from Jesus Christ himself. That tells us that the encounter Paul had with Jesus on the road to Damascus was just the beginning. It was not his only interaction with the risen Lord. Remember the road to Damascus encounter? At that point in time, Paul was called Saul. He was a religious leader, a zealous Pharisee. And when we first meet him in the book of Acts, he's taking part in the execution, the stoning, the murder of Stephen, one of the first followers of Christ. Paul was a guy whose focus, his aim, was to rid the world of those who named the name of Christ, those who were proclaiming Christ. He wanted to stomp out those who were of the way. He had received special permission to go to Damascus to harass the believers there. And on the road, Christ appeared to him as a bright light. Saul fell to the ground in absolute terror, and Christ began to speak to him. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Christ, who you are persecuting." The conversation was really short. It wasn't enough to give Paul all of the things that he shares with us in his letters. My point being that the message Christ gave to Paul was something that came to him over time. Somehow, in some way, Christ revealed this proclamation, this evangel, this good news, this message to him. And the message he gave Paul was very, very unique. So unique that in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, Paul refers to it as my gospel, my evangel. my message given to me, revealed to me by Christ to share with you. Christ had entrusted something to him that Paul refers to as secrets. We saw in our last study that Paul is called the apostle to the Gentiles, the uncircumcision, those who are not part of Israel, those who are not part of that heritage. And in contrast, Peter was given the gospel of the circumcision, of the Jews, of Israel. If you missed that study, please give it a listen. It's called Cutting It Right. It's about rightly cutting or rightly dividing the word. Paul refers to the message given to him by Christ as my evangel. In that same chapter, Romans chapter 16, he says that this message was a secret that had never been revealed before, not even to the other apostles. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, Paul said that this message was given so that he could proclaim things that had been kept secret from the beginning of the ages, from the beginning of the eons, things that had been hidden in God. God had hidden this, not showing it to anyone else. He referred to these things as the unsearchable riches of Christ, implying you could search for them in other places, including the writing of the prophets, but you're not going to find these secrets there. They were kept secret until Christ revealed them to Paul, the chief of all sinners, to share with you and me. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27, Paul talks about being given a special task by God to fulfill, or literally, to complete the word of God, to share the secret that had been hidden, concealed from the eons and from generations. And he spoke of Christ in us and our expectation of glory. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, after talking about you and me having redemption through the blood of Christ and the riches of his grace toward us, Paul then talked about the secret of the will of God that had been revealed to Paul, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, that God would gather together in one all things in Christ that are in heaven and that are on earth. In that same letter, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul asked that the Ephesians would pray for him to be bold so that he would make known to as many as possible the secret of the evangel, the message that Christ had given him. And he said that it was this very message that had gotten him locked up. In other words, it wasn't going to be a popular message. It wasn't then, and it isn't now, especially with the religious world. People flat out reject it. By the time he wrote his last letter, which is 2 Timothy, he makes it sound pretty much like everyone had at that time already rejected his evangel. And that was less than 100 years after the time of Christ. The evangel given to Paul had already been cast aside, lost by the majority. Only a few were holding on to it. The majority of the religious world was wrapped up in something else. They lost sight of Paul's message, which was given to him by Christ. Anyway, back in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, he says, "And I make known to you, brethren, the good news, the gospel, the evangel that were proclaimed by me, that it is not according to man. For neither did I from man receive it, nor was I taught it, but through a revelation of Christ Jesus." Verse 13. "For ye did hear of my behavior once in Judaism, that exceedingly I was persecuting the assembly of God and wasting it. And I was advancing in Judaism above many equals in age in mine own race, being more abundantly zealous of my father's deliverances," or for the traditions of my fathers. "And when God was well pleased," in other words, at just the right time, "having separated me from the womb of my mother and having called me through his grace," he's saying that before he was ever born, God had chosen him for this task through his grace. In other places, Paul makes a point that he was chosen because he was a perfect trophy of grace, chief of all sinners, a religious guy who had missed the point, the least likely candidate in the eyes of man, was a perfect candidate in the eyes of God. Verse 15 again, "And when God was well pleased, having separated me from the womb of my mother and having called me through his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might proclaim him good news among the nations. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood." In other words, he didn't go talking to other people to validate this message. It was something given to him directly from the Lord, and he knew it. Verse 17, "Nor did I go up to Jerusalem unto those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and again returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to inquire about Peter and remained with him 15 days. So there was a 3-year period of time before Paul ever met with Peter. This message that Christ gave Paul was for Paul, for the Gentiles, and it is distinctly different from the message that Peter was taking out to the Jews, to the circumcision. Again, in chapter 2 of Galatians, it says that Peter was entrusted with the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel for the circumcision, and Paul entrusted with the gospel, the good news for the uncircumcision, the Gentiles. Now, real quick, what are some of the things Christ revealed to Paul that we don't seem to find anywhere else in Scripture? Well, for one, he lets us know that the work of Christ is not something that is earth-limited. God's plan, what he is doing, what he has in store for us, what we are to take part in, is not earth-limited. If you were to take all of Paul's writings out of the Bible, you find everything pretty much earth-oriented. The promises to Abraham, having to do with all of his descendants, the nation of Israel, the kingdom of heaven that would come. Where was it going to come to? The earth. It was earth-focused. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth. Thy kingdom come to the earth. One day it will. Christ came, he was rejected, but he will return. That earthly kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, will come to the earth. It will be established. There will be perfect justice on the earth for a period of 1,000 years. It comes after what will be a very horrific time, by the way. We'll talk about that at a later date. But when that kingdom comes, there will be those who will reign with Christ on the earth. As Jesus taught about the kingdom, he spoke of people inheriting the earth. That was the focus from Genesis all the way through. It was about the earth, the promises of Abraham, again, about the earth, the hope of Israel, the Messiah coming, God's kingdom coming, the kingdom of heaven coming to the earth. Then along comes Paul sharing what Christ had given him for the uncircumcision, and he talks about things that are way beyond earth, like us being heirs with Christ. He speaks of us being seated in the heavenlies with Christ, not earthbound, but seated in the heavenlies as heirs with Christ. Reigning with Christ, where? In the heavenlies, judging angels, having responsibility in the heavenlies, and that through Christ, Father is going to reconcile all things to himself, all things on the earth, and all things in the heavenlies. We talked about the heavens and the earth a few days ago. If you missed that teaching, give it a listen as well. It's called The Heavens and the Earth. Paul also talks about ultimately death itself being destroyed and God being all in all. Think about that. If death is destroyed, what's left? Just one thing, life. Anyway, that's a little bit of what Paul shares in his letters. Now, in our last study, we talked about rightly dividing or rightly cutting the word of truth. Realizing that although all of the Bible is for us, Father has given it all for us, to read, to learn, to study, to see the big picture of everything from the beginning all the way through. But we also saw that not everything in the Bible is addressed directly to every person in every place at every time. A great example that you can relate to is the law of Moses, animal sacrifices. Those things are direct commands from God to do, but they were for a specific people group, Israel, at a specific time. The apostles were sent to specific people with a specific message that applies to them. Again, Peter, James, John, they were going to Israel. Paul, the chief of all sinners, was called and sent to the Gentiles with a unique message, one that when you compare it side by side with the writings of Peter and James, it is very different. The message of Paul, again, was not revealed to anyone else, and his message is for you and me. My Gentile brother or sister, I encourage you to study all of the scriptures, but when it comes to you and what you apply to you, you need to pay special attention to the Apostle Paul because he has been commissioned to you as your apostle. His message is different. It goes beyond earth. It goes beyond the patriarchal promises given to Israel and their fulfillment, which is what Israel was focused on. It's what Peter was focused on in his evangel to the circumcision. Paul goes beyond that, and it's really amazing and exciting stuff. Well, that's all we've got time for today. My name is James Flanders. Thank you so much for being here with me. I truly cherish our time together. Be blessed, my friend. Be blessed, because we have exciting things to look forward to with the Lord and in our times together in His Word.